We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 334.
If you're wondering, that's not 333, which today's episode should actually be 333. Isn't that right?
That is right, but we just felt, what did we feel?
Well, Rob, I felt...
We thought we'd have a little fun, that's all.
No. I think it's a little bit better than that. I think that we should have done what the FAA didn't do and just skipped the whole 333.
Well, that would have been nice, actually. But nonetheless, this is 334, so you're not mishearing, and we didn't skip an episode, or you're not missing an episode, and we thank you, as always, for being with us.
Yes, we do. And we don't want to say that we're not making any statements about the 323 other than we're just skipping it. And I mean the number of the episode.
Yeah.
So don't use that quote and chop me up and use it against me.
It's too late.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We're way past worrying about that, Paul.
Anyway, guys, welcome to another awesome episode. Very excited about today's question. It's actually quite a detailed question.
It's a good question.
Wasn't as easy as we thought at first. We're talking about tethering drones. Can you do it? Can you not? Is it legal? Is it not? For a while, it was a loophole, like many things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that it may not be as clear as what we think.
Not at all. And there's just not a lot of information out there that speaks specifically to this issue. We kind of had to dig and find little pieces of information, try to piece an answer together.
Yeah, that was some three-person Googling.
And learning.
It was like a room of people just Googling one thing.
And Paul teaching some old guys some new tricks. That being Control F, right?
Control F, yeah. That's a good one.
Everybody listening already knows that.
If you're an Apple person, it's Command F.
Okay.
Just one to let
you. There's only a couple of those
So when you cross over to the dark side.
That's never going to happen.
You know, actually, it's the light side because all of our computers are like, you know, nice color. And
no, I'm really not anti-Apple.
They last a lot longer than Windows.
Probably, yeah. Fine.
Everyone is shaking their heads.
They're all shaking their
heads.
They are not.
Yes.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. I just did that.
Guys.
Anyway, guys, if you have a question, I cannot reiterate enough, askdroneu.com. Go to askdroneu.com. Upload that question. I mean, seriously, I get people asking me questions all the time on Facebook. I just don't have time to answer them, guys. I'm sorry. That's why I wear a hat, actually. It's because I haven't had time to cut my hair.
Nor take a shower. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
So I haven't gotten to those messages or the shower, so I just thought I'd let you know.
Can y'all tell Paul's hair is a little blonder? He's been playing out in the sun. It's getting to be summertime.
Yeah, it's
bleaching.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm excited for this summer. There's
so
a lot
is mine.
Going on.
Anyways.
It is. You can actually see a little bit of, you know, lighter colors over here.
Yeah, that would not be the sun. That would be the age.
Oh. Anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway, guys, really appreciate you coming on, listening to the show. Really appreciate you spending the time here. If you like this podcast, just go to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review so that other people who may like this content will have an easier ability to find it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's get into today's... Oh, wait. I've got one thing I want to tell everyone. I've got a subject tracking class coming up. California, only 5 spots. It's going to be awesome. We've got brand new boats. We've got people driving the boats for us, and we're going to be teaching you how to do subject tracking with boats. There won't be anything that you can hit. There's no obstacles, so it's a great way to learn. That class
except
is going to...
Except the water.
Yes, it could be an expensive class for you. But no, I will teach you the tips and tricks so that there are very specific things you should be doing with your drone when you are flying over water to test everything while you're out on the water. And if you have an issue, there are very specific emergency maneuvers. So it's actually a lot of information.
So it's a lot of information, but I would think that as tempting as it might be, this probably isn't something for beginners.
No, this is definitely not a beginner's course.
Okay.
This is not an intermediate course. This is an advanced course. So if you've been flying for a while, you think you're good, you just want that extra step up, you want to get those really cinematic shots, kind of mastering on-the-move shots as well, this is going to be the class for you. Again, only 5 spots available. It's going to be 8, maybe 9 hours long, depending on how much fun we have, which I have a feeling we're going to have
so
a
12
lot
hours.
Of fun. Well, then you have the whole battery issue. So, yeah.
Anyway, and so we've got to get more information out to people as far as pricing and that kind of thing. So that's coming.
It's coming. I've actually, the reason that's waiting is because I have to get our marketing department the information to make the forms and all that. And then, it'll be June 15th in California. So
very cool. That's coming up. So we better get that info out quick.
Yes, it is. Anyway, today's question is brought to you by... Are you a drone pilot? Are you operating under a Section 333 exemption? Then you may be familiar with Item 27, which requires you to get a property release for every flight over property.
Legal Flyer is an app for iPhone and iPad that helps you create professional property releases in less time than it takes to do a pre-flight check.
You can add your pilot info, you can sign in, hand it to the property owner for their signature. But wait a second. Legal Flyer's advanced integration automatically adds latitude, longitude, and even altitude.
Then add a panorama straight from the app. Everything drops into a single page PDF you can share with a single tap. It's compliance at light speed. Visit LegalFlyer.com for more information or get it straight from the App Store. Legal Flyer, property releases for professional drone pilots.
Hi, this is David Callahan. I have a question about night flying. I know the FAA says that it's a no-no, but I do have a client that is requesting a night shot for a video production. And I'm wondering if I were to do a tether to my drone, I've got a 3DR Solo. If I were to tether that somehow, do you think that would make it acceptable? Thanks for your answer.
Can I just say something? I find it really funny how some of these questions are asked.
Yeah.
Though the FAA says no.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, do you just kind of like think about that for a second?
Well, again, and so I think, I think it probably speaks to the fact that there's a lot of gray area, a lot of ambiguity in the whole system and the whole, that whole FAA aspect of all of this.
Do you ever watch Saturday Night Live?
Every now and then.
Did you ever see the ambiguously gay duo?
No.
I kind of think of DOT and the FAA.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we're going to move right past that. For everybody's sake,
I'm just saying it's just funny. If you go back to those skits, it just kind of reminds me of all the larger problems at hand here. It's just, you know what? If you can't look at it and have a laugh, what can you do?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Your
sense of humor actually makes life a little bit easier all the way around. But actually, it's a really interesting question because I think what he's simply saying is, look, they're saying that I can't fly at night. I'm going to adhere to that. But is this something that I can do to, for lack of a better way to say it, get around that requirement? That's a good question.
It is a very good question. And in fact, we were doing some digging for quite some time, and we found a lot of information that, shocker,
just
wasn't
kept the ambiguity going as well.
Which is funny because, that's what the internet has done for us today is that, people have said, the internet is supposed to, make education wider and vaster, but you still have to have the frame of mind to want to learn and then take that a level deeper and ensure that your sources are correct and then ensure that the source's information is correct. So for us, it was like digging down level after level after level when finally it was just like, we need to find the FAA definitions and go over this.
Yeah.
I even texted John Rupert asking him.
Nothing?
No, nothing yet. I'm sure he's busy though, big surprise. But I know he's got a lot going on with the Taylor case and we're hopefully going to do a follow-up podcast here this week, so stay tuned, guys. But this is what I found, giving you guys some history. Let's see. So the origins of a UAS tether conundrum can be found in the FAA National Policy Statement 8900.207. Something else I want to say. They're going to mention the Interpretive Rule Policy Statement. This is why a lot of people have the anti-333 argument, because it's a policy statement. It is an interpretation, which is not a law. That's why people have really been fed up. They've been fighting the regulations against drones. You know, even the president again has said there's no real framework. We need a framework, and right. I agree.
Which they're working on.
Anyway, so continuing on, that document, the one I mentioned, 8900.207, defined unmanned aircraft as, and I quote, a device used or intended to be used for flight in the air that has no onboard pilot. This device excludes, shocker, that's not a quote, missiles, weapons, or exploding warheads, but includes all classes of airplanes, helicopters, airships, powered lift aircraft without an onboard pilot. Unmanned aircraft do not include traditional balloons, rockets, tethered aircraft, or unpowered gliders.
Hmm.
So for a while, it was kind of implied that the FAA would say UAS with the tether on it was no longer a UAS.
Yep. That's what that sounds like.
But
there was a change.
That expired in January of 2014 and was replaced by policy statement 8900.227, which retained that same definition. National policy statement 8900.227 was officially canceled, though, on July 30th, 2014, which is another – I'm just going to go back to the original anti-323-323 argument. This is another reason why people have said that there's not much bearing with the 323 because any federal agency can cancel, create, cancel again – remit, cancel, create these policy statements every day of the week.
Absolutely.
Even though there's no basis of law. So that's why you have the fundamental argument from the beginning. I'm just saying this because there's so many new people.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to reiterate myself sometimes because it's such a long, like you could talk for 3 hours on that whole 323 argument, non-323 argument. What's going on in the world of drones in the U.S.
Right.
Anyway, not going down that rabbit hole. Anyway, most people would say, oh, okay, well then tethered drones, we're good to go. We don't need a 333. They've already said tethered drones are another story. Pump the brakes there, buddy. According to the FAA, what most people have forgot to research was that, let's see. The material that was incorporated directly into FAA Order 8900.1 on June, I missed it. I'm sorry, guys. Forgive me. It was not, however, so I said it was canceled. It was not, however, superseded by any new policy statement. So the policy statement 8900.227 was canceled, but was never superseded. The absence of a new national policy statement has led many to believe that despite the clear cancellation date, the information in the document is still valid and tethered UAS is not UAS. But what seems to have escaped most people's notice, however, is that the new policy statement was no longer necessary because the material was incorporated into FAA Order 8900.1 on June 23rd, 2014. If you want to see the exact change, it's FAA Order 8900.1, change 351. The current version of the definition of UAS from Order 8900.1 states unmanned aircraft, a device used or intended to be used for flight in the air that has no onboard pilot. The device excludes missiles, weapons, exploding warheads, but includes all classes of airplanes, helicopters, airships, and powered lift aircraft without an onboard pilot. UAS does not include traditional balloons, rockets, or unpowered gliders.
So that definition clearly changed right there.
Yeah, you have to note, tethered aircraft is no longer mentioned.
Exactly, it's been taken out of there. Cool.
Yes. So I think the answer, if we're going in the form of the question, which is according to the FAA, the answer is tethered is not going to save you.
Right. Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, it still falls under the auspices of the original rule.
Exactly. Now, if David is flying under his 333, flying at night is prohibited, period. But if you're flying as a hobbyist, there's absolutely no rule against it whatsoever.
So, yeah, so that's really the quandary here is... And this guy,
it's the quandary for everything. For everything UAS drone-oriented, it's the quandary.
Yeah, absolutely. But the bottom line in this particular case is he said, I have a client who would like me to get some night shots. And the answer, based on the current rule and the way that the industry stands now, is that tethering it would not solve that for you.
No. According to the FAA, no.
Right.
Now, if we look at this as an issue of should we fly tethered? I know 3DR was even showcasing their new tether while at NAB. They had the solo flying for, I think it was 8 or 9 hours straight.
Right.
Now, I think the tether idea is great for like constant persistent surveillance. I think it's great for drones that have autonomous docking stations like our Gridlock. By the way, there was another person who released the exact same thing as Gridlock last week. Yeah, another one.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's funny for me because that was an idea that we were working on for, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, a while back.
So, but it's nice to know that our brains, someone else had the same idea and actually implemented it, although...
Yeah, and let's just... Well, for me, I'd much rather be doing what we're doing here than doing that. So,
couldn't agree more.
Pretty excited about
that. Anyway, where was I going with this? So, it's a great idea if you've got infrastructure for the drone. The tether is a great idea. Otherwise, I think it's a poor, terrible, awful, erroneous idea.
Well, it's interesting because there was an article we came across in the research, and some of you may have seen this, that there are actually, and this isn't news necessarily, but there are companies that are building and designing or designing and building tether-based drones or tethered UAS. I mean, they're designed to be that way.
Yeah.
And even in doing that, they've reached out to the FAA, and it sounds like the FAA has said, yeah, even though you think they're safer, as far as we're concerned, it's still like all other UASs, which we've already alluded to, but this circumstantial evidence seems to have substantiated that.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If you're flying a tethered UAS and you try to fly, you know, 100 feet up and 400 feet that way, and there's a tree 20 feet from you, you know, is the tether going to hit the tree? And then what good is the tether, too? I mean, like, if the drone falls out of the sky, is there, like, some little system, like a winch inside of the, you know, motor where,
that
like,
works
oh,
really,
no,
really
it's
fast.
Falling. It's, like, sucking it in, you know? I don't see that happening.
Actually, a better scenario would be, I guess, for the tether to release and let the drone just go up, right? If they're, in terms of safety. Anyway. Bottom line is,
I don't think tethering is a good idea, period. And people have argued, you know, for the whole tether, flying drones... with a tether. In fact, there is one little comment I saw in a forum that I have to say on the podcast because it's hilarious. And it says his response was to someone else who was talking about should they tether, should they not tether. He's worried about FAA and he is worried about whether it was just really practical or not, which we've already said it's not practical.
Right.
And he said, roll on the floor laughing. While we're talking about loopholes, how about tie everything up, set it up as an instructed, unfurl the line a little bit, take a picture of it, then cut it off. Now you set up your alibi. Go fly. I just found that really funny.
Yeah, of course, funny sarcasm, but nonetheless, an interesting perspective.
Definitely an interesting perspective.
In terms of the practicality of tethering, I mean, the drones aren't designed to be tethered, right? The consumer drones that we talk about most of the time.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Now, I could see if drone is designed for that, and so it's connected to the middle and it's been designed to work appropriately. That, I mean, there could be uses for that in time.
Like I said, wide area persistent surveillance is a great is a great thing. I use that term because it's a military term, and it's how they dictate certain types of drones. Again, I just don't see it as practical.
Right.
You know, is it safe? Do you have the safeguard? Yeah, but you could also get a parachute and then you have another pound on your aircraft and you get half the flight time. So it's like, I just don't think it's a good idea.
Sure.
Period.
Generally speaking, there will be applications for which it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
as far as what he's trying to do, no.
I love this question though, because it's a difficult question. And I was thinking there was some Phantom 4 questions that came in, you know, talking about, if you remember when we said that, would you still grab the drone from the battery with the Phantom 4?
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have a Phantom 4, I can understand why someone would say that.
Right.
I can totally get it.
So stay tuned for that podcast?
No, we already did that podcast. Just a reiteration, I wouldn't change anything I said in that podcast. I'd still grab the thing from the battery.
Okay. So, confirmation.
The leg is definitely safer and it is very strong. I agree. But and sport mode, by the way, we're learning so much about this Phantom 4. I cannot wait to do our review. And I mean, it's not like we already have, you know, X number of classes coming out this month and we're supposed to be doing a YouTube video every week and... We're like lined up right now with all my emails on YouTube videos. I got enough ideas for a year-long YouTube video. But anyway, guys, we really appreciate that feedback. And we appreciate those questions like the Phantom 4 questions. So keep sending them in askdroneu.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/droneu, where you can find really cool information. And you can also find a lot of policy documents. But if you want to learn how to fly, and if you want to just become better at flying, because quality will trump the undercharger, you've got to learn how to fly really, really well. And you can do that at thedroneu.com. Just become a member. I guarantee it's your cheapest way to learn how to fly well. And it's also probably the best quality. At least that's what a lot of people have told me. And I'm not saying that because I want to say that. I'm saying that because people have come out and openly said this to me.
Absolutely. And it's a growing group of members that are just passionate about learning, passionate about doing it the right way. And what's really cool is they're passionate about helping each other. So
that is what I love the most.
It's really, really
cool. And
it's
what I've been saying this whole time. People are like, you know, and I'm not to go off on a tangent, but I want to tell people this. Someone had mentioned that at AUVSI, the conference that was last week in Georgia, the big theme was, you know, a lot of 333 operators are having massive difficulty raking in money and raking in jobs with their drone business, because they say that younger people who don't have a 333 are undercutting them. And it just goes to show that, you know, you really have to be good at this. You can't just be, you know,
You can't just rest on the laurels of having your 333. You got to actually be able to fly
well,
produce a quality product, particularly as more and more people enter this industry. And young people are starting to come into this industry, and they're flying a lot.
Yeah.
And they're getting really good at it. So just because you have your 333.
Well, and it goes to show, too, like what we've been saying this whole time, focus on quality. This is what our book talks about. It's like focus on the hardest of the hardest, because guess what? If you master that, and that's the one thing you master, you're not going to really have to worry about learning the other things quickly because you'll have mastered the most difficult thing. It is your line item of value. It is the thing that you can sell yourself on. And I've even had people who the undercharger's gotten below me and I've lost stuff.
Yep.
But in the end, the client comes back.
Right. But the worst thing you could do in that case is lower your prices.
Yes.
To match that.
Couldn't agree more.
Just got to be patient. And I know that's easier said than done when the money's not coming in. But if you can be patient, it's going to be worth it.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Let me know if you did. Let me know if you didn't. AskDroneU.com. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.